it says it is a lasting ordinance. So this means it isn't just for 2,000 years ago or 4,000 years ago, it's for today. So Yom Kippur, which means Day of Atonement, is a day that is set aside to afflict the soul. It is the one day the Lord proclaims a fast. It is a day of repentance, of seeking God, and of rest. Since we have all sinned, we cannot come into the presence of God without the covering of blood. Our Father is so faithful. He always provides a way for us. In the beginning, he set a plan in motion to atone for our sins. First, it was the blood of animals. Then, it was the blood of his only son, Jesus. We know that God does not want anyone to perish. He brings forth his plan and waits for us to seek him. This year, the Day of Atonement began at sundown on Friday, October 11th. And this is a very important teaching since it deals with redemption and also with the second coming of Jesus to set up his kingdom. He will return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. He is coming soon. On the Yom Kippur, the Festival of Atonement, we stand before a loving God who asks the questions and we offer the answers. Our Lord continually seeks us out through his Holy Spirit. So as much as we are in search of him, he is in search for us. So this is a reason to shout for joy. You know, there's an old Jewish legend. There was a young girl who came crying to the priest. "Why do you cry?" asked the rabbi. "I was playing hide and seek," she said, "and no one came looking for me." So too is it with God, reflected the high priest. He too is crying. For as much as he is looking for us, we rarely look for him. Let's pray. Father, I am so thankful that you do not give up on me. Please forgive me for not seeking you with my whole heart. I praise you for your son Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Guide me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Grant me a revelation of your Son. Teach me about atonement through your festival of Yom Kippur. Amen. So Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, is the most sacred of all the high holy days. It is a day for each one of us to take time for a personal assessment, a day that is set aside to afflict the soul. It is a 25-hour fast that begins before sunset, the evening before Yom Kippur, and ends at nightfall on the day of Yom Kippur. It is a complete fast, no food, no water, and it's a day to focus on the Lord. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. You know, in my last message, we learned about that during Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, that we were to wake up from spiritual slumber. So beginning at verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 5. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. And then just back a chapter to verse, or Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. This speaks of Yom Kippur. So just in this short period of time, Paul is teaching us two exciting things. So Ephesians 4:30 speaks of Yom Kippur atonement. Verse 30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So God gave us the Feast of Trumpets to teach us that it is when we will be judged. And he gave us the Festival of Atonement to teach us about the closing of the gates. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. We're back to Leviticus chapter 17, where it tells us that we know that the life is in the blood. So that is why God has chosen the blood atonement for the covering. So verse 11, for the life of the creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. So we're going to be looking at the copy today and the original. So let's study together and watch God's plan of redemption unfold. So now let's look again into Hebrews chapter 9, 24 through 28. Hebrews 9, 24 through 28. And so we can see that atonement was offered through a substitute. God gave us the shadow or type when he set the high priestly rule in place. So Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice for us. So beginning at verse 24 of Hebrews chapter 9. For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year, with blood that's not his own. Then Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But now he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with the sin by the sacrifice of himself. So just as a man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. So on the Day of Atonement, the high priest entered the most holy place to sprinkle blood on the Ark of the Covenant. This symbolic action was to cover the sins of the nation, as well as his own sin, by substituting the death of another, in this case, an animal. This covering of sin through a substitution is called atonement. It was set aside as a special Sabbath day for a national mourning and repentance. So on the Day of Atonement, the priest laid aside his colorful robes and his jeweled vestments. And he dressed instead in linen garments of white to symbolize his utter lowliness in the presence of God. He put on the garments of a slave to stand before the King of Kings in his holy sanctuary. This reminds us of when Jesus laid aside his robes and took on the role of a slave to minister to his disciples by the washing of their feet. Atonement means the day of covering, canceling, pardoning, and reconciling. It is the holiest day of the year, and it is a prophetic picture of the second coming of Christ, the restoration of the nation of Israel, and also the final judgment of the world. It also reveals the high priestly work of Jesus after the order of Melchizedek. It is the only time when the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood of an animal to remove sin or defilement. The lifeblood of the animal was exchanged for the lifeblood of the believer. Here we can see the exchange of the innocent life for the guilty life. The sins of the guilty were laid upon the head of the sacrifice while confessing his sins and putting them on the sacrifice. Let's turn back into Leviticus, and we're going to look at chapter 16, verses 7 through 10, and then we'll skip down and read verses 20 through 22. And we're going to read about the story of two goats, of which Jesus is the fulfillment of. So beginning in verse 7 in Leviticus chapter 16. Then he is to take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. He is also to cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the goat whose lot falls to the Lord and sacrifice it for a sin offering. But the goat chosen by lot as a scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement by sending it into the desert as the scapegoat. Now getting down into verse 20 through 22. When Aaron has finished making atonement for the most holy place, the tent of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring forward the live goat. He is to lay his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all their sins, and put them on the goat's head. He shall send the goat away into the desert in the care of a man appointed for the task. The goat will carry on itself all of their sins to a solitary place, and the man shall release it in the desert. In actuality, this goat was literally pushed off a cliff. Why would you want that goat to accidentally reappear amongst you after your sins were placed on it? So it too died. So the first goat was called the goat for the Lord. In the sacrifice of the first goat, God was saying, the wages of sin is death. But I will let this goat die for you instead. When the blood of the goat was placed on the mercy seat, atonement was made, and it provided a covering for sin. For centuries, God gave his people visible proof of their atonement. We need to remember we serve a God who is miraculous. And you know, he gives us signs and wonders. He shows us things because in our human frailty, sometimes we just need to see. So it was the Jewish custom to tie a red sash to the door of the temple each year on the Day of Atonement. So when the sacrifice for atonement was accepted by God, that red sash turned white. Whoa. Every year. Year after year. So according, this is very interesting. So according to the Jewish Talmud, something alarming took place 40 years before the destruction of the temple. In the year AD 30, 40 years after the the destruction of the temple in AD 70, the red sash stopped turning white. The sacrifice of atonement was no longer accepted by God. How terrifying does that seem if you were a Jew? Why, you might ask, did this happen? Because in AD 30, Jesus of Nazareth, our Lord and Savior, was sacrificed in Jerusalem on Golgotha. Jesus became the perfect sacrifice and became the fulfillment of the Day of Atonement. How powerful. Let's turn and see what Isaiah has to say in verse 118 to see what he says about our sin. And this is so beautifully put on your bulletin today. Verse 18 of Isaiah 1 tells us, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are like crimson, they shall be like wool. We have been given redemption through the atoning blood of Christ. This desire to be close to us is one of the reasons that the Father sent Jesus, his one and only Son. Not only was Jesus born into the human race, to show us firsthand what God is like. But he also died for our sins so that we could be made right with God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Paul is teaching us that Jesus is the one whom God had promised for all generations to send, the one who will be worshiped forever. Verse 6, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is why Jesus' death was the only sacrifice acceptable to God the Father. Unlike that of the high priest who entered the man-made temple or tabernacle to offer sacrifices, our Savior was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Now, this is 1 John, towards the end of your Bible, close to the end by Revelation. So God's plan has always been to restore his creation to the way he intended it to be. So 1 John 2, 1 through 4. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You know, we're told sometimes that we can live any way we want because we've got grace. But if you truly love Jesus, you follow him. Otherwise, the truth is not in you. That can be kind of terrifying to think about. So Yom Kippur is the day dedicated to the contemplation of one's sins. On that day, the high priest was to make the designated sacrifices, two goats and a ram for the Israelites, and a bull and a ram for himself and his household. So the animals were to be without spot or blemish according to the Mosaic law given to us in Leviticus chapter 4. The high priest was the only individual allowed to enter the Holy of Holies, and it was only once each year on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. So there was a curtain that divided the priest who performed the daily activities in the holy place from the Holy of Holies. It was a barrier so that man would not casually or disrespectfully enter into the presence of the holy God who cannot tolerate sin. Our Father's eyes are too pure to look at sin. Before we go on, I just want you to remember that when Jesus died on the cross, what happened to the curtain that divided the holy place from the Holy of Holies? It was split in two from top to bottom. Jesus made the way. So the high priest, although he was especially chosen to minister, had to follow the exact steps that God had put in place in order to enter through the veil into the overwhelming presence of God. Once inside the veil, the high priest stood before the only item in the chamber, which is the Ark of the Covenant. And inside that ark, God commanded Moses to put the stone tablets on which the Ten Commandments had been written. They also placed a pot filled with manna in the ark as a reminder of the miracle power of God and meeting their needs. And the final object inside the ark was the rod that Aaron had carried, which miraculously budded, even though it was a dead stick. These items presented a powerful testimony to the people. The lid of the ark was known as the atonement cover, or the mercy seat. It was guarded by two cherubim, one at each end, made of pure gold, wings outspread like that. And looked down at the center of the cover. And this symbolized God's seat of authority and his presence in the tabernacle. It was the Lord's meeting place with the high priest. You know, I was thinking about it. How many angels were in the tomb where Jesus had laid? There was two. And I believe that, like the cherubim who covered the mercy seat, covered where Jesus had lain in the tomb, where he paid for us. Glory to God. Let's turn to Romans chapter 3, and let's look at verses 22 through 26. Here it's telling us that Jesus is the atoning sacrifice. So Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 22. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. This grace is costly. Our Savior paid for us. How costly. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at this present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. So Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 tells us that he put his blood on the mercy seat. We have to remember that when the Lord had given the plan to Moses for the earthly tabernacle, how was it made? It was made after the one in heaven. It had to perfectly be like the one. There's one in heaven. So as the high priest entered the most holy place, he applied his own blood, Jesus, our high priest, having obtained eternal redemption. So verse 12, he did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, But he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. Now let's go way back to 1 John 1:9. Most of us know this verse by heart. And it is a great admonishment to each one of us. It says, if, and remember, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We don't need a goat, but we still need to confess our sins to gain assurance that our guilt is removed. So again, Jesus fulfilled exactly what the Old Testament had put in place. Number one, the sacrifice of the first goat pictures what Jesus did on the cross, dying in our place, shedding his blood for us as our sacrifice, our substitute. And number two, the sending of the second goat pictures what we do when we confess our sins to God. You know, they put their hands, on, the head of the second goat, which was called the scapegoat. We have to confess our sins in order to be set free, because confession brings restoration. Did you ever think of that? When you confess, it brings restoration into your body, into your soul and spirit. So on the Day of Atonement comes after the Feast of Trumpets, where we were urgently warned to wake up from our spiritual slumber. Because of God's great mercy and compassion, he allows another short period of time for his people to repent, which are called the 10 days of awe. Now, this is representative. When the trumpet was blown on the Feast of Trumpets is a picture of the rapture of the church, the catching away. There is, right after that, a period of time known as the 7 years of tribulation. That is your picture of the 10 days of awe. I don't know about you, but I certainly don't want to stay for that. It is going to be a horrific time for everyone on earth. And if you thought you knew Jesus and were left, how wretched, how sad. We have got to make a decision. This is a picture of the time between the rapture of the church, as I said, and the second coming of Christ to save Israel from complete annihilation. It is God's way of teaching us that if we are not written in the book of life at the time of the Feast of Trumpets, we are given 10 days. To repent. That's your 10 days of awe, or your tribulation years. Then what happens? It's before the books are closed forever. And it's too late. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of repentance. Now is the time to surrender to the Lord Jesus, who is our atonement for sin. Those who accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior are written in this book. Many who have not made a decision for Christ have a short time to repent before their fate is sealed forever. Our Father gave us these festivals to teach us that time is short. We need to repent and turn to God and accept Jesus before the gates are closed forever and we are cast into the lake of fire. Hell is a real place. God is so merciful and loves us so much that he gave us pictures and shadows to teach us the ultimate truth about his son and his love for us. We don't know for sure if Jesus will return for us in our lifetime, but we do know that each one of us has only one life to live. Each of us will face death and eternity at some time. For some of us, it may be sooner than we think. Are you ready? When Jesus returns at the end of the tribulation, it will not be a rehearsal. It will be the real thing. The blood of Jesus has already paid the price of every sin in your life. Before you even existed, God loved you so much that he took the penalty for your sin upon himself. As we come before him in humility to confess our sin, God applies the atoning sacrifice of Jesus, his blood, to our lives and restore us to full fellowship with him. When we come into agreement with God about our sin, he restores us. We are forgiven and cleansed. Hallelujah for the blood of the Lamb. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, the suffering of Jesus was beyond description. I know that I helped to place him on the cross. You have shown me indescribable love and compassion. Thank you for reminding me of the price you paid for my life. Forgive me for forgetting how much you truly love me. I want to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, so that I can spend eternity with you, Lord. Amen.